I mention the name Steve Dillon, you're all going to know immediately. Very, very accomplished banjo player, wonderful founding member of Third Time Out. A couple years ago, Steve dropped out of the music scene, took a break from the road, formed a new band recently. As a matter of fact, they have their third album out already, hard to imagine. Sideline has a brand new album, Colors and Crossroads. It's on Mountain Fever. Caught up to them. They happened to be in my neighborhood, so I hustled down to catch a live show and talk to Steve Dillon about all those issues, his stepping aside from touring and performing for a while, and the new Sideline album and the band, the makeup of the band, and well, we had a good time. Always been a fan of his banjo playing. Finally got a chance to sit and talk. He'd been on the program many years ago when the Third Time Out bus was pulling out of another city, and he got on and we talked about what they were working on then. If you want, you can go back to the archives and find that under D. But today you're going to hear a new conversation with Steve. Many things have changed since then. All good. All right. I'm really happy to have a chance to talk to Steve Dillon. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. Again, you were on one time with Third Time Out. You were on a bus coming out of Washington many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Then we happened to hook up.
Wow, but that's probably been 20 years ago.
But that hasn't been 20. Okay. I've been doing that long, but it just happened to be one of those things where I caught you. But now, man, I'm just real excited about Sideline and the new album, Colors and Crossroads, and I'm even more excited because I truly believe, and you should too, that I just saw you guys play. We were going to do this on the phone, and when I realized you were going to be close enough I could catch you, there's nothing like live bluegrass.
No, there isn't. I told my wife next week would be 31 years, but when we were dating, it's really an interesting story. She was my next-door neighbor. We went to high school together, and she knew I played the banjo, but she didn't like the bluegrass. And I said, go see it live one time. That's all it took.
This was a great
well, show. Thanks.
We get in these crazy discussions sometimes about what is or isn't bluegrass, which kind of,
yeah,
you get people get, that was bluegrass.
Yeah.
Sideline is bluegrass.
We're pretty straight ahead, yeah. Traditional. You know, when I left Third Time Out, I had this band on the side. That's where the name comes from. We were just playing a few gigs, and when we started to maybe take it to the next level, I decided I really wanted to just play some kind of straight ahead music.
Yeah.
It's something that I hadn't done in a long time. I, with Russell, all those great years, and we could play traditional, we could play contemporary,
yeah, sure.
and I think I just wanted to go more straight bluegrass and feel like I got the right guys doing it.
Oh, you do. It's a great band. The new album. Is this the third one?
That's the third one.
Okay,
yeah.
And I've got the other two, but I just kept thinking, was there one I missed? But this is Colors and Crossroads on Mountain Fever.
Mountain Fever, right?
And I've been playing it a lot, and there's a lot of good stuff on it.
There is. There's a lot of grass on that. We did do a couple
slowdown.
Yeah,
like
slowdown.
Like the Colors and Crossroads thing that you said was one of Brinkston's.
That's one of Brinkston's.
Yeah,
it is.
That's a beautiful.
It is, and it's really doing pretty good for us right now. And it's a shame it takes a tragedy, but like a lot of the fires
in
Tennessee
that.
And North Carolina, this song's getting played a lot through that.
I driving down here today to meet you, I thought about that because of the fires are just now calmed down enough, and this Colors and Crossroads is kind of like, it's what you see in the fall driving through the mountains.
Exactly.
And now we think about everything in Tennessee, which you mentioned on the stage tonight a little bit, that there's not going to be a lot of color down there.
No, that's right.
Like you said, Brad.
Yeah, he lives there.
He lives down there, your dobro guy and singer, and he didn't have to evacuate and everything's okay, but not everybody's that lucky.
No, a lot of friends. You know, there's so many musicians down there
now.
That's a hotbed of music, and I've several people, you know, that have lost their homes.
Unbelievable.
So we're trying to work. As a matter of fact, I worked on it today, involved with a fundraiser getting put together, you know, a big bluegrass concert.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll raise some money for those folks.
Yeah. Let's talk about the band that you had here tonight, and the band on the album. There was one personnel.
Yeah, band. Brian Aldridge was our mandolin player for the past 2.5 years, and he had to leave the group back right after IBMA this year in October. So Ashby Frank is doing the mandolin with us, which he's a veteran. He's played with Marty Raven. You know, you and I talked.
Mm-hmm.
Earl Gillespie filled in some with him.
Sure.
So he's great talent. And, of course, the rest of the guys were here tonight. Brad Hudson on dobro and vocals. Skip Cherry Holmes on guitar and vocals. Jason Moore on bass, and Nathan Aldridge on fiddle.
It is. I was driving. I try to really just get immersed into an album. I want to talk to someone about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening, and there's a lot of just straight. Well, we talked about this before. This is a lot of this is straight down the pipe, right between the eyes, bluegrass. But it's got a lot of that. You're such a good. By the way, big fan of your banjo player for so long. There are, in my mind, there's a handful of banjo players that are. The notes are separated. Which is important.
Yeah.
The notes are clean and separated, and the timing's there, and you have that great tone, and you look so effortless when you play. And I play, so I was telling you, I was looking at your string height. We were talking about
right,
that. I pay
attention
to that stuff. But you're one of four or five banjo players that I think that are just solid. Everything is clean and clear, and the note separation to me, which I think is hard to do. Really well. Yeah. You just nailed it, man.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that.
I really love your playing.
I go through spells where I feel pretty good about it, and then I go through spells where I'm like, gosh, and I really need to work on this, you know. So.
We were before, when we were waiting to get started, we were just swapping stories about Sonny Osborne. In your head, when you're looking for a sound, what sound do you look to play?
Yeah, really a combination. Sonny, you know, I have several heroes. Sonny was one of them, J.D. Crowe, Earl. Terry Balcom was a big influence on me. The early days when I first started playing the original Doyle Austin Quicksilver, seemed like they set at camp in North Carolina. They played a lot.
Yeah.
I was in high school. My parents were taking me to see them, and Terry was a big influence, and we become friends with all the guys, and so he took up a lot of time with me back then. Same with Crowe. A lot of people don't know, in 1982, the only tour the Bluegrass Album Band ever did, they did a 12-day tour. I went on that tour with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Milton Harkey was the promoter, and he knew that would be good for me. And my parents worked it out with my high school that I could miss those days. And so I got to spend my first assignment on that tour was to go to the airport to pick up J.D. Crowe, Tony Rice, and Todd Phillips. So for a 17-year-old, that was really cool.
You were in heaven, man.
But I got to spend a lot of time with Crowe, and we've remained close friends since then. So.
Well, listen, now you're talking about players, and I am here to talk to you about Sideline, the new album, and we're doing that as we go.
Yeah.
But I also do like to talk about banjo players. But with the comment I made about your playing, which I think is unique and distinctive, you mentioned Terry Balcom, same thing. Mm-hmm. Clean, hard driving, good stuff. Sonny, JD. Mm-hmm. So that is what's in your head.
Yeah, that's style. That is. That's what I listen to. I mean, of course, I listen to Monroe and Flat and Squares and Earl. But I listened to a lot of Bill Emerson back then, that award-winning country gentleman. I played Redwood Hill and Little Bessie on that record, running that needle back. And I mean, that's what I learned to play with.
When you hear Bill play, it's like... It's so simple, but it's so perfect, but it's not simple.
Right.
It's so
exactly.
perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, look all those great melodies you wrote, and it's the same thing. So, all right, good. I'm glad that I recognize in your playing, because you're telling me back those styles.
I still listen to that, and probably the one guy I listen to now a lot is Ron Stewart. He's one of my favorites, and Ron's such a good, humble guy.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of his
good
as well.
In my book, you're in that group, and I mean that.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate your style.
It's an honor to be putting that.
Cleanliness of your playing and the separation of the notes, I think, is a lot of people can play fast, but it becomes a blur.
Yeah.
But your notes are all separate from whether you're slow or fast. So anyway.
Well, I appreciate that. That's just from that influence.
Yeah, okay, good. Let's talk about the new album a little bit more. Colors and Crossroads. Uphill Climb kicks off pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jones song.
Yeah.
Colors and Crossroads is. We talked about that a little bit. The beggar in heaven. You get this.
Yeah. That's kind of a funny story.
You get this thing down.
I have this raspy voice. I've always had it, and when that song, Joe Clark, a buddy of ours, lives up in Canada, wrote that song, and when he pitched it to us, he has a kind of a dark tone to his voice, and. The song is, you know, if you listen to it, it's a dark tune, and they wanted an old, raspy, you know, it was just kind of made for me, I guess, in their eyes. But that's the first time I've ever sang lead on a song recorded. I've done it a time or two here and there with Russell and them, you know, a time or two, but this was the first for me, but I, you know, it pulled off pretty good.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a great song.
Yeah. The I do. I like it, and I don't hear you sing a lot lead, and I know you never had to.
Yeah, I've always been a harmony guy.
Yeah, he's a good harmony singer, but I heard that, and I thought, I got to talk to you about that.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot of response out of that, I guess because it catches people off guard. You know?
So, now Dudley Connell is a guest on one of these.
That, you know, that's an old Reno and Smiley song, Unwanted Love, but Johnson Mountain Boys, that was a big hit for them. And I was a big Johnson Mountain Boys fan growing up. My dad was a huge, they were his favorite, you know. So we knew Dudley and whatnot. So we were at a festival last summer in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And we were on stage, and we were, you know, like we mentioned, we playing some pretty straight-ahead grass. Well, Dudley, you know, even though he's with the seldom scene, he still loves that traditional bluegrass. Well, he and his wife stood out there. I saw him on the stage watching us, you know. So we come off stage. He was back there, and he just complimented me on the band and whatnot. And I said, well, kind of jokingly, I said, Dudley, if we ever cut an old Johnson Mountain Boys team, would you do it with us? He said, I'd be honored. So I kind of take it serious. And then we got putting the stuff together. I called him. He said, man, I'm going to be heartbroken if you don't let me do one with you. So we did that tune, and he did a great job on it. And it's one of my favorite cuts on the record.
All of the vocals, and I've talked about your playing, and you have a good band, but all of the vocals are, like on the album, I believe, what you did live was not quite the full vocal
thing.
But on the album, I believe, is that's everybody in the harmony, and that's like the
quartet on there. Yeah. Singing, doing some great bass singing.
That's the last cut on the album. But there are several songs on here that really pull in all the vocals that you do. And the band, you're great players, but you have great vocals when you get to a song like I Believe or any of these things where you all kind of come together.
Well, you know, one of the things that works for us vocally is we're all from the same part of the country. We're all from North Carolina. We all talk, with the exception of Skip. He's from California.
Yeah.
But Skip, he and I have discussed this many times. Cherry Holmes didn't play California bluegrass.
They didn't play West Coast bluegrass at all.
So he was taught that style of music. And so he fits right in on that.
Yeah.
So we all phrase the same and you know, talk similar. And that really works for us vocally.
What is it about a song like Darlin' Corey, which you have on here, where... Mm-hmm. As many times as it's been done, and as old as it is, you guys have made it. It's different.
Yeah.
But what is it about those old songs? You can go back and revisit them and reinterpret them.
It just fit the, you know, the old time banjo, the claw hammer style on that.
And you did
know.
That live here tonight.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We tried to make an old time flavor with a little modern twist. Like we break the song down a little bit, and where there's nothing but the guitar rhythm going in the last verse and that kind of stuff. But it just fit the, like I mentioned on stage tonight, when I didn't even know Skip played claw hammer banjo. You know, you and I discussed, he's my son-in-law, and he was over at the house one night, and he grabbed my banjo and started doing that. So I was wanting to find a song that featured him. And it probably took me a year to come up with that, but, you know, it features him, and Brad does a wonderful job with the vocal, and we've got a unique arrangement.
It is unique, and you just think how many times that's been done, and you guys have found another way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Lester and Earl at Carnegie Hall did it totally different, you know. Hey.
And, Chris, you have a nice, I think every good bluegrass album, you got to have a couple. I won't say always gospel, but you got to have a little bit of that flavor. And you've got a couple tunes on here. We already talked about Beggar in Heaven, but I think I believe Lord of All Men too. Yeah, you got.
Yeah, Joe Clark, same guy wrote that.
Okay.
He actually pitched both of those songs to us at the same time, and Skip really fell in love with that song, and you know, wanted to sing it, and it's just a. Just a straight-ahead grass.
It is.
It's a new song.
But you know what? Let's stop saying it's just straight-ahead grass.
Yeah.
Because I don't... That almost like we don't mean to diminish that. When we say just straight-ahead, it's great bluegrass, but if we're telling people how to describe it, we might say...
Traditional.
Really.
Yeah, well, I was going to say it's a brand new song,
but
it sounds like it was written 80 years ago. That's why, like, I know you're familiar with Bill Castle. He's one of my favorite songwriters, and his songs are like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is... And everything, I'm telling you, it's just, it's on Mountain Fever. When was the actual, I got this a while ago.
Yeah, the actual release date was November the 11th.
That's what I thought.
But we got them right around the end of October, middle October, something like that.
Well, so. I told you before we started, Mountain Fever, they do a good job promoting their artists.
Mark's great. He's a great label. Mm-hmm. Good guy. He's been very good to us.
Yeah, and I've had this for a while. You have a website. It's right on the back of here. People want to find out where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. It's Sideline BG for Bluegrass, SidelineBG.com.
Okay, and I assume they can probably, can they get the new
thing? They can. They can order online. We have an online store.
Okay.
We take PayPal or credit cards, however, you know.
They can.
I don't know how they do it. Skip handles all that. I don't have it.
Good, because I don't know how to do it either.
Yeah.
So, and they can find where you're going to be appearing.
Yep. There's a full tour schedule. We got a lot of dates all over the country.
Well, how many dates do you think you're going to do
coming
up next year?
Well, we did. We finished up. We have three more shows this year. We'll finish up December 16th. That'll be 107 for this year. So we'll probably do that much, or I'd like to do a little less than that next year, but, you know, within 5 or 10 of that.
That's
probably
a busy sideline.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm grateful because the band's really taken off, and we've created a little demand. We're still in fan base building mode,
yeah.
I mean, you know. But we've been fortunate. We've been blessed to play some good festivals and get on some good shows, and you know, and I know a lot of that goes back to my years with Russell and Jason with Mountain Hard and James King and then the Cherry Holmes, you know, and that's worked in our favor as well.
Those are road warriors.
Yeah.
Those people are all road warriors.
You know, but it's really weird, Steve. I knew this, but I didn't quite understand it until I experienced it. No matter what you've done, when you start over, you're starting over.
Yeah.
You know, you really are.
Yeah.
You know, we started this band, we were in a van and traveling, and then we finally bought a bus, and, you know, just traveling to the point where we had to have one.
Well, I love this new album. I really do.
I appreciate it.
I've played it a lot. It gets a lot of airplay on Unreal Bluegrass Colors and Crossroads. It's everything you want a bluegrass album to be.
Well, thanks. That means a lot. I really do appreciate it.
I really
that.
Love it, dude. Listen, I know you're packing up and you got another place to go.
Yeah, we're headed out.
I'm going to let you get out of here, and I appreciate it a bunch. And,
well, thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'll let you go, Steve, and I'll talk to you later.
All righty. All right,
thanks. Bye.